My friends, hello. Obviously, this is not being recorded on Sunday morning. We had some gremlins in the machine. These things happen. Thank you for your understanding. And so instead, then, we are recording just the scripture lessons and just the sermon for that worship service. Again, thank you for understanding. Whether we are in person, whether we are far away, whether it's just me standing alone in a sanctuary, whether it's just you sitting alone in your room, nevertheless, we are still the people of God, and we are still connected with each other, no matter when I am speaking, when you or whomever may be listening. So with that in mind, let us approach this as a time of worship, as a time of hearing, despite my poor words, what the Spirit has to say to the people of God. With that said, our first scripture lesson, our epistle lesson this morning, comes to us from 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. We need to remember that Christianity is new. Nobody has 200 or 300 years of Christianity in their family that they are drawing from. And so the writers of the epistles have to explain what Christianity looks like on the ground. What constitutes Christian behavior? And so this is what we read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness, and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly, and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Jesus is trying to prepare his followers for the times when he will not be there, and for the times of unrest, of persecution, that he knows will come. And so they are in the area of the temple. They are within the precincts of the Temple Mount, which is the large area. It's about 20 acres of open area that was immediately around the temple. And they are able to see this huge structure that must have been so beautiful and brilliant to observe. This is what we read in Luke 21. Verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he, Jesus, said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Friends, at your workplace, is there someone there who isn't pulling their weight? Someone making a big show of doing nothing? And she's always at her desk, but she's always reading a magazine. He's always there. He's always at work. But he's always wandering around with a cup of coffee, bothering other people. Pleasant people, don't get me wrong, but not doing what is right. It happens in families. Parents who aren't taking care of their kids. Children who aren't looking after their aging parents. The extended family has to step in and take up the slack. Nice people, right? You love them to death, but they're not doing what is right. Well, you might be able to guess, it's not limited to workplaces or families or sports teams or music bands, whatever. It happens in the church, too. In the early church, there were itinerant teachers, preachers, evangelists who would go from place to place, city to city, and live with people in the local church. And some of them did very good ministry. But some of them were idle layabouts who had to be pushed out the door. Monasticism had the same problem. You know, before monasticism became more centralized, before it developed clear rules, there were, for want of a better term, sort of free-range monks. And these monks would go from monastery to monastery, enjoy the local hospitality, and then move on. In the 1700s, most Church of England pastors were in smaller rural parishes. And they were paid by local taxes. Everybody had to pay whether or why. So their income was always guaranteed. And in exchange for this, all they had to do was to marry, bury, baptize, and preach on Sunday. And that was it. I mean, they didn't even have to preach their own sermons. You could buy books of sermons for every Sunday of the year. Imagine an entire class of well-paid, well-educated men with too much time on their hands. Some of them really genuinely cared for their parishioners. They cared for their flocks, and they did very good ministry. Some of them did science experiments. They wrote math textbooks. Some of them developed dictionaries for obscure languages. And some just sat back and watched the world go by. They never pulled their weight. They never did what was right. I would say that in about 20% of the churches I have pastored, one of the complaints about the previous pastor was you could never find them. They were never in their study at the church. I mean, they did their job on Sunday. They moderated session meetings, all that kind of thing. But the rest of the time, it was, hey, you have my number. Call me if you need me. And friends, it looked bad. They weren't doing what was right. Christian leaders cannot shirk their responsibilities. We cannot grow weary in doing what is right. But it's not just leadership, is it? No, it's all of us. Our scripture lesson this morning is addressed to everyone. Every member of the church, pull our own weight. Do what is right. Several of you, I know, are working with our young people in their confirmation classes. They are taking steps to confirm they are emotionally and spiritually mature enough to be responsible for living their baptismal vows and being full-fledged active members of our faith community. And to do that, they have goals that they have to meet. How many times are they going to attend worship? How many times are they going to attend PYA? How many ministry activities are they going to be involved in? They have clear, measurable goals. Now, what if we all did that? What if we all made a pledge and set ourselves measurable goals for our ministry? Not because we must, not because we have to, but as a way to spur ourselves to greater ministry. What if we all said, unless I'm desperately sick or out of town, I will be in worship or watch live on Zoom at least 3 times a month. I will attend a Growing Connections, an adult faith formation class, at least 2 times every month. I will take part in one of our ministry activities at least 1 a quarter. I'll go to Loaves and Fishes, or I'll bake cookies for Loaves and Fishes, or I'll go to the store and buy cookies for Loaves and Fishes, whatever. The point is, I'll do it. What if we all said, I will support our ministries with my finances on a disciplined, regular basis, regardless of my bills? As Christians, we all have an obligation to be active in ministry, to pull our weight, to do the right thing. And yes, I know it's easy to become weary. We get tired. Of course we do. It's only natural. Nevertheless, we are called to carry on, even in the midst of wars and earthquakes, famines and plagues. Let us carry on doing what is right. After all, this is how God loves us, right? You know, no matter how far we wander from the path of the cross, no matter how badly we stray from the rest of the flock, no matter how many wars we start or how much pollution we pump into the atmosphere, no matter how many times we say we're too tired or too stretched or stretched too thin or the time just isn't right, God continues loving us. God is always loving us. My friends, God never grows weary of loving us. May we never grow weary of doing what is right. Amen.